All right, we are back. If I sound a little out of breath, I had to run downstairs during the little stop set and grab myself some water.
You did that pretty well. You did that good, minute 30.
Not bad for a big guy.
A little bit under that.
Yeah. If I was 10 pounds lighter, I probably could do a little faster. I really could.
Someday we'll get a water thing upstairs.
That would be fantastic. Well, tonight, for some reason, I left my water bottle at home. So,
you usually have like a big gallon jug, don't you?
I usually have a big gallon jug of water, and I, you know, so caught up in the snow and the great guests that we have this evening, I forgot.
Well, you know what happens.
I want to thank everybody who is tuned in and been listening to Monday Night Talk. We change our topic from speaking with Adam Bond and Michelle Littlefield to talking with a good friend, Mr. John Creed. He is a very reliable analyst. He's a guy who, when we want to talk about what's going on in politics, we go to John. When it comes election night, when we're doing, you know, local politics, whether it's on the state or local level, John is the guy. John's the guy who will call races or kind of give the details about particular races. John, welcome. Welcome back to Monday Night Talk, my friend.
Very good, Kevin. It's a great pleasure to be with you, and I hope everybody out there is safe, and the snow will go away as part of the global warming project.
I see. I don't mind the snow. Now that
well,
I have a
Kevin,
snow.
Good night. It's been nice talking with you, and I'll see you in 25 years.
That was good. John, you know, we got something big happening up north of the Massachusetts border.
Is that right?
Yeah, we're on the eve of the New Hampshire primary. I got to ask you first and foremost, what are you expecting for numbers when they're revealed tomorrow night, whether it's the Democrats or the Republicans?
Well, first of all, I think the turnout's going to be big, could be as many as 500,000 people.
Wow.
The big thing is about 41% of the voters in New Hampshire, what we would call unenrolled, independent, that can choose either ballot. And it will be interesting which party excites them, whether it's the race between the former Secretary of State and the present senator from Vermont, or the field of Republicans. So it'll be interesting which party draws those independents, because they're probably going to determine the thing.
Can I just ask you a real odd question, John?
Sure.
Of all these candidates, whether it's the Democrats or the large field of Republicans that are slowly being whittled down, is there really a leader amongst all of them? Do you feel that whoever is selected out of this group of individuals, somebody is going to be able to lead our country in the right direction in the next 4 years?
Well, I think that's almost, in this day and age, that's almost impossible, because the country is truly divided. And because of the gerrymandering that is done in the Congress, it's very difficult. When you look at in the Congress of the United States, there's 435 representatives. And when it comes to the average election, there's probably less than 50 of those seats that are in play. Mm. So the country is polarized, and whether it's a Republican or Democrat, I think you have trouble, because the Congress men's and women's seats are safe. Now, people will tell you, a poll shows you like 80% of the people don't like Congress, but 93% like their man or woman. So that shows you the polarization of the country. So regardless of who gets elected, it would be very difficult for that person not to have a battle with Congress.
Okay. So we had a chance to see Hillary versus Bernie during a town hall meeting type of thing, where they really get feisty with one another. And we also saw this weekend the Republicans, which actually included Donald Trump this time around. He decided to be a part of this one after missing out on the one before the caucus in Iowa. Give me a thought. Who were the winners and who was exposed during these little dust-ups and debates?
Let's take the Republicans first. I think Trump held his own, and because the others are all trying to fight to be the one person that might challenge him, enabled him to hold his own, despite the fact he was Trump being Trump. Mm. Marco the senator from Rubio.
Yep.
From Florida, certainly hurt himself in the exchange with Governor Christie.
Yeah.
And we'll see how much damage was done after his fine showing in Iowa. It'll be interesting how that plays out, especially with the independents, because the election is all about independents.
Get enrolled, right?
Because most Democrats in November will vote for the Democrat, most Republicans will vote for the Republican. The question is, who can excite independents to go in November?
Okay. Well, it's funny you mentioned that, and I think the one stigmatism that was the one thing that was kind of put on Marco Rubio was that he was equivalent to our current president right now. He was a one-term senator, and look at the trouble our country is in. Now, I don't know if people agree with it. I mean, if people didn't agree with how Barack Obama was running our country the first 4 years, why did they reelect him to another 4 years? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, it's because it's who you get out to vote.
Yeah.
You know, probably nearly half the people in the country didn't vote.
That's true.
And yet Obama was able to put together his coalition, the old FDR thing, and it was enough to give him enough electoral votes to win the election.
Mm.
That's why if I was advising the Republican National Party, either one of them, and I'd love to do it, but it wouldn't be fair and be a commentator. but if the Republicans can't win Ohio, they can't win the election.
Ooh. And this should be the Republicans' race to win when it comes down to, you know, who's going to be the nominee for the Republicans and for the Democrats, correct?
Well, I think two ways to look at it. The American people, with the exception in recent history, in the election of George Bush Sr. when he succeeded Ronald Reagan, the country has not given it, since Franklin Roosevelt, the same party three elections in a row.
Right.
Except for the Reagan Bush Sr. So that would be a negative for the Democrats. On the other hand, the Republicans, I think, hurt themselves because I don't think the country shares, whether they should or shouldn't, they're all talking about war in one form or another.
Yep.
And they may be right, but I don't think the American people, and especially independents, want to think in those terms.
Well, and you know, it's funny because during the debate, it was mentioned that they were just getting word in that North Korea just launched a ballistic test. They were testing another missile. And, you know, how do you feel about this? And you know, gave them each a chance to respond to that. Because whoever our next commander-in-chief, that's Korea, and they're standing what's going on with them. I mean, I thought Donald did okay as far as saying, well, you got to talk to China. China's the one that if you talk to them, they're the ones who can put an end to this quickly. And I think Ted Cruz might have, either Ted Cruz or Jeb Bush might have jumped in and said, yeah. What Donald said is right. You can talk to China. China will be able to, you know, kind of quiet North Korea and all what they're doing these days to try to get attention.
Yeah, but the big thing is, Kevin, as much as that might be right, it's where the American people are.
Yep.
And the American people, though they wouldn't admit it, really want to be isolationist. They don't want us involved in every conflict that exists. They don't want the United States to be the international police force. So that's the battle the Republicans have to show when you think of ISIS and North Korea.
Yep.
And all those troubled spots. That's important to Americans, but the American people are so materialistic. It's the, as was said by James Carville, it's the economy, stupid. You know.
Well, it's funny. You mentioned about isolationists, and I think back to Pat Buchanan and his ways where he wanted, you know, America to be kind of an isolist country. You hear now Ted Cruz wants to build a wall down on our border to the south with Mexico. And Donald, I'm going to build a real wall, not a toy wall like his wall. You know, it's funny that, you know, that we got the Democrats, you got a couple of the idea to build a wall, and patrol it so we don't have, you know, illegal immigrants coming in is very interesting. That's what's happening here.
Well, it'll be interesting. The Pope is going to get involved in this because he's going to say a mass with Cardinal O'Malley with him that's on the U.S.-Mexican border.
Mm.
And because of the, you know, the church's stand on the country taking more immigrants and so forth, and that is an important issue in many parts of the country. And it will be interesting how that plays in and what the Pope says, because that will get some publicity one way or the other.
Again, we're speaking with John Creed. He's WATD's political analyst who is... whether we're talking about national politics or local politics here, John is one of our go-to guys and a very valuable guy when he's kind of evaluating things. I want to go back to Donald Trump, if I could, and get your thought on his failure to debate and how I honestly feel that hurt him when it came to the Iowa caucuses. Do you feel that he is going to be able to bounce back in New Hampshire?
Well, I think there's a certain constituency that will travel to Donald Trump, and it's in New Hampshire. It will be how many independents pick up Republican ballots to vote for him.
Mm.
They're going to realize, even if Trump wins, the latest poll, I think, today says he's got 33%. Well, that means that 67% of the people who pick up Republican ballots, if that poll is correct, aren't going to vote for him.
Mm.
And don't forget, that's only one party. And a candidate to win the presidency must certainly get votes from the members of the other party and must do very well in the unenrolled independents.
Right.
And so that's what it is. I think because there's so many in the race, I think Trump will have a very comfortable win in New Hampshire tomorrow. And, of course, the weather, as we know, like here today, be snow up there in parts of New Hampshire tomorrow. How that will play out, we'll find out in about 24 hours.
Now, I know that we're not going to see much of a change, although there has been conversation as to how big of a victory will Bernie Sanders have over Hillary. Looking at the Republican side of things, depending on the results combined with Iowa, who could we see leaving the race if they don't have better numbers tomorrow in New Hampshire?
Well, Fiorino, but again, one of the big things is how much money do they have to spend or how much money do they want to spend?
Yep.
So people could stay in as long as they're just living in hotels and contacting the local media. Jeb Bush can stay in because he's still got $59 million in the bank. Okay, I think Kasich has to do well because he's kind of put all his money in New Hampshire.
Okay.
I mean, by the time he was invisible in Iowa. So I think Rubio getting hurt on Saturday means that four people could come out of New Hampshire and still be in the race as they head south.
Okay. Yeah, because after New Hampshire, we're talking Nevada. They will have their caucuses. You have South Carolina. And that all leads right into Super Tuesday, which is March 1st.
Massachusetts is in the Super Tuesday thing, as is Vermont, I believe.
So what do you think these next few weeks are going to be like in regards to the remaining candidates?
Well, once you get through South Carolina and Nevada, and now people have to decide how much money they have for Super Tuesday when you're talking about 20 states voting.
Mm.
So you're going to have surrogates, and you're going to have somebody to have money to pull the thing off, you know?
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm curious to see what happens because I think Donald Trump wants to be in this for the long haul. And he doesn't, and he, you know, he's one of those guys who's like, I don't want your money. I got my own money. I mean,
but it's going to be hard for him to do it on Super Tuesday.
Right.
That's 20 states. That's a tremendous amount of money. And to be in all those places.
Mm.
So you got to look at it. And here's the thing that is different between the two parties. Number one, the Democrats have super delegates. And Hillary Clinton's going to do tremendous among them. These are people who are not elected delegates. They're chosen by the party because they're elected officials or dignitaries. The Republicans have no superdelegates. That's number one. Number two, many of the Republican states, either the caucuses or the primaries, are winner-take-all. Okay?
That could be interesting.
And yet the Democrats, when it gets to places like Michigan, Ohio, Minnesota, those Massachusetts, those kind of places, it's proportionate. So Sanders, even though he may not win, he's going to pick up delegates.
Is this going to be a close race? I mean, I know that there's still things that are still haunting, Hillary.
Well, I don't think either former Secretary of State Albright or the former President Clinton helped Hillary with their remarks in the last couple of days.
Are you talking about as far as the feminist thing? As far as
if I were Bill Clinton, anything close to that, I'd take a walk because that opens up the Monica Lewinsky thing.
Right. Right.
And with Albright saying that a place for hell or something for women that don't stick together or something, that was a stupid statement to make. And I have said from day one, Kevin, in this whole, before anybody announced other than thinking that Hillary was going to run, it's Hillary's to lose.
But
and her biggest opponent might be the FBI.
Mm. Well, here's the thing, though, and I was actually watching, I don't know if I was watching MSNBC, but some of the commentators were talking about that the one problem that Hillary seems to be having is being able to reach out or resonate with, the younger females, 34 years old down to, voting age, that for some reason the younger voters aren't necessarily wanting to vote for Hillary.
Yeah, because they're involved in two things. Bernie Sanders is talking about giving away the store, and people like things for nothing.
Yep.
And number two, a lot of voters have had enough of Bushes and Clintons. And, they just want to look and think the country should look in a different direction, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent. And certainly, Jeb Bush, for all the money he spent, about $100-something million, to be at 5% is unbelievable.
Do you think that his brother serving two terms and what we came out of at the end of George W.'s term as president is hurting him? Because I kind of look at Jeb and I see him as being the brighter sibling. I see him being the guy that I think that would probably do a good job as a commander in chief. I just don't know if the country wants to have another Bush in the White House.
I think that's true. I wouldn't disagree with that analysis at all. I think Jeb is very qualified, but people might be looking for somebody different. And that's why how independents vote in November is a big factor.
Yep.
It's my opinion that Trump and Cruz cannot get enough independents to win. If you want to look at the national election, I can tell you, the Democrats will carry all of New England. They'll carry New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, the District of Columbia. They'll carry California, Oregon, and the state of Washington. They'll probably do well in Wisconsin and Michigan and Minnesota, which means the Republicans have got to win Florida. They've got to win the South. They got to get border states and Texas and Ohio. And that means the election comes down to Iowa, Indiana, Nevada, and New Mexico.
Ooh, okay. Well, I'm going to ask you, this is going to be a big question right here. Ultimately, who would be the two ideal candidates that Americans would want to see square off and run for president? Who are the two, Democrat, Republican, that would make an ideal battle leading up to November?
Well, if my wife or others would vote, she'd want none of the above.
Oh, like Brewster's Million and Richard Pryor.
But I would say the Republicans would love to see Bernie Sanders win that. I don't think that will happen. And I think I think the Republicans can win as long as they have Kasich somewhere on the ticket.
So if so, even if he doesn't get enough, you know, if he's not able to come in and be the Republican nominee, if he is at least in the conversation for VP, then that could be a boon for the Republicans, is what you're saying.
For example, I think of Bush. Way back when, I thought the Republicans would have Bush and Kasich. Last week, if you asked me, a day after the caucuses, I would say Rubio and Kasich. The Republicans need Ohio so bad, Kasich has to be there.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, what, I mean, what is his, any idea as to what his, you know, how favorable he is as a governor? I mean, is he still seen?
Well, he's done a great job as governor, and I think the reason he's not doing well in the Republican setup is because he's probably too moderate for the Republicans, but he's ideal for independents.
Okay. Would you rule Chris Christie out as being somebody? I mean, what if you had a 1-2 punch as governor?
Well, Christie hurt
Mark Rubio.
Rubio bad. But he might have hurt himself bad because he was coming across as a prosecutor, not as a leader.
That is true. But he was right on him, though. I mean, he was. I think he was trying to be point blank in a big brotherly type of way.
Here's the deal. The Republicans... chances of carrying New Jersey are slim.
Okay.
And you can't give up electoral votes. You know, the Democrats and the Republicans will fight as they have in recent years. And we remember in 2000, it was all about Chads in Florida.
Hanging Chad.
Yeah, and so the Republicans need Florida, Texas, and Ohio to be in the game.
Any word of a big name independent person like a Bloomberg coming in and maybe causing a ruckus when it comes time after we've got nominees?
Well, I mean, if you want to go back to various third parties, George Wallace, you know, really hurt Nixon, even though Nixon held on in 68.
Yep.
Anderson hurt Carter in 80. Certainly, the environmentalists there, NADA.
Yep, Ralph Nader.
He certainly hurt Gore in 2000. If Bloomberg got in my opinion, it hurt the Democrats.
Oh.
I don't think he'll get in, but if he got in, that's what he'd do. Don't forget, whoever's going to become independent has to get in the act by March 1st, because there's a deadline to get into all these states.
Right.
He has to go out and get signatures. His other thing is some party, like the Green Party or something, could nominate somebody if Bloomberg wanted to go that route.
What if we ended up having, I'm just speculating here, throwing it out there, because you never know. We're living in crazy times. What if it ends up being Bernie versus Donald Trump?
I think Trump wins.
Is that an impossible scenario? Do you feel that's an impossible scenario?
Oh, I think Trump's got a better chance to be the Republican nominee than Sanders has to be the Democratic nominee.
Even though
at the convention, the super delegates are the ballgame.
But even with all the rhetoric that Donald has put out there, you don't think there'd be any shenanigans with the Republicans? Even if Donald was the guy who, you know what, he was able to take the caucuses and all the primaries, that they would say, "No, we don't want to give it to you. We're going to give it to the next guy."
Well, no, I think Trump might get it. It's easier to win the Republican nomination because of the system.
Right.
There's no superdelegates.
Right.
And if you win, you win. And there's a lot of winner-take-all states. So if there's three or four in the race, a plurality can get you all those delegates in those states.
Okay. We have been speaking with John Creed. John actually is going to join me tomorrow morning during the South Shore's morning news. What time are you at, 6:30?
We're on 6:30, you and I, and we'll see what might happen overnight. Yeah. With the way this thing's going, anything could happen.
Anything could happen. John, I want to thank you so much for being my guest, and I'll look forward to more conversations with you down the road.
And it's a pleasure to be with everybody. And again, we hope people are safe in this weather.
Amen. Amen. Definitely. And so what we're going to do is we will step aside. And when we come back, our final guest, a special guest, Jenny Zagrino. Jenny from 50 Shades of Black, local comedian. She used to be local here. She'll be my guest coming up in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.